Father, we thank you for today, Lord, for your grace that we could be here this morning to worship and to fellowship with one another, Father. And most of all, Lord, to come together also to learn something from your word. We thank you, Father, for your love today. We commit all things to you this morning now as you open our mind, Lord, as we come sit before you and learn of you. In Jesus' name, all right? All right, now, we have discussed for the last 2 weeks on this topic of the subject of Cain, giants, and Canaan. So with that, I want to conclude this morning to bring out this PowerPoint illustration to bring it out all in a systematic order and to bring out some important issue of what we have missed out or the misunderstanding among some of the preachers and the believers in the end time message. Alright, so our subject again is Cain, giants, and Canaan. Alright, we look at this PowerPoint now on this. Alright, now, here is a chart. And we can see here, of course, a very simple chart, a very straightforward chart of Adam's descendant and the serpent's descendant. So we are, of course, we know there's doctrines of that the serpent seduced Eve and gave birth to Cain. And when later on, when Adam went to Eve, and she gave birth to Abel. And then I say, of course, we look at this, we can see, of course, Abel, from this side down, all the way, it ends up with Noah with the three sons. And of course, on the Cain side, it ends up with Lamech and his four children over there. Now, of course, here we have in the Bible, they call Adam's descendant, sons of God. And on the serpent side, they are called sons of man. Alright? Now, this is a clear cut. Everyone in who believe the end-time message knows these facts. Alright? Now, we know that Cain killed Abel. So Abel was removed from the genealogy. And then God gave to Adam and Eve Seth. And so Seth replaced Abel, and then from there we have the genealogy of the line of what we call the Sethites. And on the Cain side, of course, it's known as the Cainites. Noah was the last of the pure Sethic firstborn. Now, you've always been affected by us. How do you get it that Noah was the last of the pure Sethic firstborn? And I say this, that in all genealogy, God does not mess and mix up genealogy. Because in the Bible, we know that even in judgment, God does not judge the wicked together with the righteous. He judged the righteous among them and reward them. When he judged the wicked, he rewarded them according to their wickedness. So, in the genealogy of Seth, the reason why I arrived at Noah being the last of the pure Sethic firstborn is obvious. Because from the record we see in the book of Genesis chapter 5, it leads all the way from Seth until it ends up with Noah. Now, these are all firstborn. Right? These are all firstborn. These are name of all the firstborn. Name of the secondborn, third, fourth, is not recorded in the genealogy. So it ends up with Noah, and then from there, the Bible brought out Shem, in fact, was put first, but he was the last. Shem, Ham, and Japheth was given. So the same thing over in Genesis chapter 4. And the son of man, genealogy, Cain's genealogy, he ends up with Lamech, and then he mentioned that he had two wives. And then the name of the sons, and the name of the son over here on the second wife, and the daughter's name. So we cannot simply pick a name in this genealogy and say that, oh, so and so, and such a person was the last of the pure Sethic. Now this is what has been done by some preacher You know, the big Noah Enoch being the last of the pure ascetic. You can't do that. How do you know he was the last? Because you don't even have anything to go by. It's only an assumption by this, well, preacher, who's well known and said that Enoch was the last of the pure ascetic. The reason why they arrived at this was that Enoch was picked as the last of the pure ascetic was because, you know, he was the servant from Adam, and he was the one who prophesied about, you know, the judgment to come and so on. You see? But that doesn't make sense. Because in fact, the person who challenged me that time spoke against me because I picked Noah being the last of the pure ascetic. He questioned, he put a question forth and said, if Noah was a pure ascetic, why did he marry another woman, a wife who is not of the pure ascetic? You see? He asked this question. He said that if Noah was a pure ascetic, he would have the revelation, the understanding that from God not to marry any other woman of any other tribe or mixed woman except one that is pure. So I put back the same question to the same preacher. I said, if you pick Enoch as being the last of the pure ascetic, the same question you asked me applies to you. Just answer your own question. Why did Noah Enoch, if he was a pure last of the pure ascetic, why did he not have the revelation to marry a pure wife? You see? You understand what I'm saying? So I said, he said that I shot myself full of holes. I said, no brother, you did shot yourself full of holes. But my Bible tells me the whole list of names ends with Noah. And then he bring forth the three sons who are separated and not even listed under their genealogy of pure Satan. Do you understand that? The same thing over in Cain's line. He ends with Lamech. There could be nobody else pure. Cain from that side of being the firstborn. Alright? So now Shem, of course, is the youngest of the three sons. Your Bible has said Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But you must need to understand why God have His Bible written the way He wrote it. The Bible said Ham was the younger. The youngest, therefore, must be Shem. And Japheth being the elder. Do you understand? But the reason why God put Shem first was because He reversed whole order that He did with Abraham, Nahor, and Terah. Abraham was not the firstborn. But He was picking up the Messianic line. He chose a line they were going to bring forth the Messiah. That's why God did it that way. Okay? Now, the last of the pure Cainic firstborn, of course, in the Bible you can see, end up with Lamech. It wasn't Yerub. Was a Mahujael? No, none of them. But it was Lamech. And the Bible said he married two wives. We all know that very well. And the first wife was Ada. And Ada was a Setite. And you ask, how do I know Ada was a Setite? You know, as I said this before, I'm very well acquainted with the first 11th chapter of Genesis before the 12th chapter where Abraham came into the picture. And I told you this, I was the first person, the first one to ever preach on the serpent seed, on the mark of Cain. And I was first even to detail, to let know who was the last, and then also, who was this Ada, and who was Zillah, the second wife of Lamech. When God wrote all those things down, many people read the book of Genesis, chapter 4, let's go to it and see. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 23 onwards. Chapter 4 and verse 19 onwards. Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jubah, he was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as cattle. And his brother's name was Jubah. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal king was Naaman. Now, just this short verse itself alone, this few verses, three or four verses, people just read it and don't think much of it. But you know, to understand the serpent seed and the trail of the serpent, you have to understand what happened in the beginning. God hid this doctrine of the serpent seed. This mystery was hid that many denomination wise, educated men, intellectual men, they could never figure that out. You understand? But here we have in the Bible, when it's written in such a way, pay attention. God don't just mention something for nothing. Okay? So what we have then, the Bible says that Ada gave birth to Jabba. Now, Jabba was the firstborn. And the Bible said that he was the father as such of those who dwell in the tents and those that have cattle. Alright, and his brother was Juba, and his brother was Juba, he was such as handled the harps and the organs. So, we have two sons, the firstborn being Jabba, and the second being Juba, and both are different in characteristics. And we know that the characteristics must come either mainly from the father's side or from the mother. That is, the characteristics obtained from the genes of either strongly, dominantly, from the father or from the mother. So we have Jabba, showed that he was the simple person who dwells in town and keep cattle, herdsman. And this is what we find over in this side of the Celtic line. Is that right? They were all herders. But over this side of Cain, they were original farmers. Not herders, they were farmers. You understand? Huh? But it's only later when the intermarriage took place. The gene caused a disruption. That even after Cain took a wife and gave birth to Enoch. Enoch ben Cain. Not Enoch this side of Seth. Huh? But Enoch ben Cain. He became to build city. You understand? Now the disturbance of the gene caused Enoch to be more intellectual, able to look at rocks and irons and bronze and start building cities. And so the descendant, Enoch, builder of cities. Alright? And also that the descendant later on, as you can see, of course, Jabba here, was a tent dweller in the Kedahan, but the Juba, the son, the second son, by Ada, he began to be able to make instruments and play music, musical instruments, harps and organs. Now that tells us something here that Ada must be a satite. Had to be a satite because of mixed gene. Now this is phenomenal only in the beginning of the creation period. Okay? But not today. Today we are all so mixed already. A man can have six sons. One can be a farmer, one can be a robber, yes, one can be a goldsmith, one can be a musician, right? One can be a president. Because we're all so mixed over here now. But in the beginning, the lines are separate. You understand? These are all herds people, herdsmen. They are known in the Egyptian book as what we call the shepherd kings. They deal a lot with herds. Sheep and cattle and all these livestock. And Cain, of course, you know, he was a farmer. But then mixing later on, just here, begin to mix, and then what happened? You see, the gene would disturb and become more intelligent and more wicked and so on. You get a picture now. Okay? So now, we have Zillah. Zillah was a Cainite. Had to be a Cainite because the Bible said that even the son, the first one born, already, what the Bible said, he was an instructor of every artifacts in brass and iron. You see? So, if Lamech first born, the first wife was a Setite, so the son is no longer a pure Kenite. Isn't that right? It's no longer a pure Kenite. These are all pure Kenite. Got it? They're all married Kenite wives, their own kind. But when you have a man here who married the first wife and gave birth to the first son, he being the firstborn cannot hold that line anymore in this genealogy. Because he was mixed. He is not pure. You get the point. You understand what I'm saying? Is that difficult to understand, to comprehend? No. So the same thing right over here. On the Semitic side. He has in Noah. And God also put this name of his three sons separate from his genealogy of the firstborn of Seth. That's what the Bible said. Go to read what the Bible said. I'm not the one who said it. The Bible said it. You read over in Genesis chapter 9 verse 19. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Now, it was the three sons of Noah that populated the whole earth. That's not Noah. Noah did not populate the whole earth. It's the three sons. Because beyond these three sons, there's nobody else on this earth that populated the earth. You understand? Noah did not have another son other than these three sons. You understand what I'm saying? And the Bible said the whole earth was populated by these three sons. If we said it's by Noah, we are talking about something pure. But his wife is not. That's why we have these three sons. That's why that the serpent blood was carried over the flood. Because of all this, practically, the three sons were mixed. Brother Abraham said, go through the woman. Yeah, Brother Abraham make a statement like this. He's carried over by the woman. Isn't it? Yes, we know he says that. And I always ask a question among those who, the brand of my, and I said, which woman then? He said, the woman. Which woman? All of them. We know that genealogy is counted on the man's side. And so, here Shem, Ham, and Japhet, they were mixed seed. So we don't have to worry so much about the woman. But Brother Abraham made that remark, I believe, was referring to the birth of Canaan, who came through the incest of Ham and Mrs. Noah. That's why we have that strong serpent gene that gives birth to Canaan, and then Canaan produces the Canaanites. And there you find in that land of Canaan, lots of giants. So we don't just simply take statements of Brother Branham or take the statements of any preacher, but we just want to see what the Bible shows itself. A man, a preacher, can say a statement, and if we just simply take a statement without going to the Bible, we can just give any interpretation we want to. Alright? So much for that, and we understand that now. So here we have Naamah's name mentioned. Her name in the genealogy. The question is why? Who was Naamah? Now for those who do not believe that Noah married Naamah, and that Naamah was Noah's wife, that's okay. I'm not going to argue with you if you want to believe that Noah married somebody else. It's okay. But I always ask this question. Why do you think God put the name of a woman in a genealogy? That the Bible said, Zillah gave birth to Tubal-Cain. And his sister's name was Naamah. Why do you on earth mention the sister's name? And for that matter, why did God tell us Jubal was a tent dweller and a herdsman? Herdsman? Why does the Bible tell us that? What is the Bible? Why must God tell us about Jubal? What his profession was? Why? Why didn't God tell us about the rest? Enoch, maybe like Yeraut, and Mahujah, Mahusael, or Lamech himself. Why? Why didn't the Bible tell us about all these Semitic people? Of course, we know, of course, they are herdsmen. But why didn't they mention anything else beyond that, like Japheth, you know, Ham or Shem, what occupation they do? Why didn't they mention? Because it is conclusive by just simply reading it and understand why God put a statement, why God described something. That's why God called your attention. God will not call your attention if He doesn't put anything there. So when the Bible said that sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah, why don't you put the mention that name? I ask you this question. It's a $1 million question. And of course a lot of people say, oh, I don't know, again, I'm just guessing this and that, but not this. No, no $1 million. The reason why Naamah's name was there, you only have to ask, who was Naamah? All you have to do is, now, just think of Rahab, Ruth, and Mary. Right? Why are their names mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Because they play a part, in the history of mankind, or in the history of the Christian people. The same thing, Naamah's name. If she was mentioned there, she plays a part in the history of mankind. What history? She was the wife of Noah. Simple fact. Alright, here we have. Cain means acquired. We all know that. Because I've gotten a man from the Lord. That's what you've said. Enoch. The name Enoch means to teach or to initiate. Interesting, huh? What did Enoch initiate? Well, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Well, we all know that. That the Bible said, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. When Enoch was born, what did Seth call his son Enos? The reason why he called his son Enos was that at that period of time, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Wow. You see, we have this teaching by these preachers and apostles and great apostles and chief apostles or leading apostles or principal apostles. There is no such thing. That the word man here began to call upon the name of the Lord. It was this man. Man means the Son of God. That's what he's trying to tell you. That it was at a period when Seth began, after Seth gave birth to Enos. It was in this generation of Enos, they teach it that it was at this time of Enos that the sons of God, the sons of people, began to identify themselves as Yahweh worshipper, true worshipper, and they already called God upon God's name. That's not true. As I said this before, here was only one generation, Adam, giving birth to Abel. Abel was killed by Cain, left, then Seth came along. Well, immediately Seth was born, do you think that Adam raised him up and taught him about Yahweh worship? The true worship? He did, didn't he? Okay, so next moment, a son was born. Enos was born. That was the grandson of Adam. Adam was still alive all the way down. He lived 130 years, remember. So how could the true worship of God be lost in the generation of Seth? That only after Enoch was born, then Seth and his brother and sister, hey, we all got to get back to God. Is that true? There is no consistency in such interpretation. Wow, this preacher talk about consistency. You want to talk about consistency, then stick to it. Sons of God are sons of God, are not angels. I already said that. And I was even the first person to point that out in the book of Job. that the sons of God that came before God was not, they are not angels. They are worshippers. They are God's people. Sons of God have relationship with the fathers. That's why they're called sons of God. Angels have no relationship with the fathers. They are ministering angels, ministering spirit. So man began to call upon the name of the Son of upon the name of God. Who are they? Watch it carefully. Look at the word son there. This is what it is. Are there any relationship? Yes. Sons of men. Here we have. Watch again. Sons of men. Men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. It is fixed, isn't it? That relationship is there. You cannot put it in any other way. You cannot say it was the sons of God. They are the sons of men. So they are the Kenic people. What do you mean by calling upon the name of the Lord? Men began to profane the name of Yahweh by invoking it upon their idols. That's what it is. I already show you the Hebrew word. Man began, or man in profanity called upon God's name. But there is a invoke it upon the idols. So you can see that by the time, you know, it's only how many generations? Two generations. After Enos was born. Wow. You know, when he sees it, Seth saw what's going on the other side. The other side was who? Was Enoch. Enoch was the one who initiated. He's the only one who probably had been trying to be a teacher to teach how to worship Yahweh. And don't forget that Cain worshiped God, only that he had half a revelation. Isn't that right? You see? And so when Enoch was born, Enoch's people later on, after I don't know how many, 50 years, 60 years, he began to initiate that, well, you know, we need a God that need to be seen, so they probably have images, idol, of stones, of metal or iron or bronze, and then they invoke it upon those idols, the name of Yahuwah. Now, when we look on this side of Adam's generation, Jared gave birth to Enoch. Now this is the Enoch of course, a Sephic line. And in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 14, we have here Jude wrote about the corruptions of man, the wickedness of man, and then he said about God, about Enoch prophesying about the impending judgment upon the world. Now I want you to turn to that verse and look at it. Because people who are foolish, I will read the Bible the way they see in the Bible and say, okay, they are literal, just pick it up the way they should be. But I want to tell you this, and I will say this many times, that the Bible is not meant to be taken literally in every word, and the way it is written, the way it is translated, because translation, they are always error. Alright? Jude chapter verse 14 says, Enoch also the servant from Adam prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, people will say, was prophesying about the end time here. Is it so? Because it says here, you know, the Lord God will come with 10,000 of his saints. It means at the coming of Christ, riding on white horse with the saints. Is that what it says here? That's what the King James will tell you that. But if you were to look at other translations, they will use the correct Greek word. It said the Lord will come with myriads of his holy ones. Myriads means tens of thousands of his holy ones. By which the Bible here in the King James translated as saints. In the Greek is hagios, which means holy ones. And so what actually it is in the Greek form, it says that the Lord will come with thousands and thousands of his angels. Because angels are also called holy ones. And they will judge the people at that time. But people take these as they're talking about the end time. But that's not the right translation. Yeah, we know the Lord is going to come and judge the world at the end time also. But this time he's not coming with just the angel, he's coming with the saint, that is true. So that's why when translator translates, they are thinking about, you know, not the era of Enoch, but our era, our time. You understand that? So now we see that it was in now Enoch, when he was born and then when he grew up, he saw the wickedness of men in that generation. Now he is seventh from Adam. He's the seventh generation from Adam. And he saw what was going on. So he judged the world. You understand? So he judged the world. So he prophesied about the judgment of God, and to prove that, he had a son. And his name is Methuselah. Why did he call his name Methuselah, who was born in the year of creation, 687? Why did he call his son name Methuselah? Methuselah means, when he is gone, it will come. When he is gone, judgment will come. Is that right? So he was prophesying against the generation. When was the flood? When was the flood? You know, look at this year. 687 only, you know. 687 years from Adam. And already the earth was so corrupt and violent filled the earth. Wow. Let's continue and see. Methuselah's death was ushered in the flood. 1656 AM, the year of creation, from the year of creation. Lamech died 5 years before the flood. So who was the last to die of all the firstborn? Talking about the firstborn, we're not talking about the rest of the setact. Because the uncle, auntie, great niece, great nephew, they all have gone messed up themselves too. Well, look at the churches today. Many of them mess up themselves too. You know. We don't know what they did. Maybe they intermarried. Maybe they make a mess of their life. We don't know. But the Bible is talking about the firstborn here. So, the last to die was Methuselah. What year did he, what was his age? 969. Lamech died 5 years before the flood. So Methuselah was the last to die. Left Noah behind. To cross over the flood. Why do you have the firstborn must all die before destruction comes? God will have to take them home and not let them pass through. Wow, a watery grave, you know. When you know, if you know water stop, there's a flood coming up, and you are trying to struggle to swim and to keep yourself alive. You're drowning. That's a terrible death. I find that drowning is a very terrible death. So God took all the firstborn. That's why the firstborn, remember the church of the firstborn? Huh? The church of the firstborn will not see death. God will not let them pass through this tribulation that's coming. So the watery tribulation at that time, Methuselah prophesied. 1,000 years, even before, about 1,000 years before he came. Enoch prophesied about it. So about more than 1,000 years before you actually come. So think about it. The flood destroyed and estimated 800 million people. Wow, he says, where do you get this figure, brother? Again, this is an estimated figure. Some people, population people who do calculation, try to give a certain kind of equation and all this, you know, number of people, number of deaths. Don't forget, these people live a long time, huh? Huh? Remember? They live a long, long time. You know, the population of the world multiplies after every few years. Until recently, it seemed to be stuck. You know? Okay? Now, a lot of people are not producing children anymore. So in those days, some estimated even up to 1 billion people. But that is... That is 1,600 plus years from Adam. But what is the population around this time of Enos and Canaan and Mahalalel? What is the population around this time? Well, let's just see. Canaan and Malaria's year was 325 and 395. That's about less than 400 years from Adam, isn't it? What is the population? We don't know. Some estimated 20 million. Could it be possible that the proliferation of people multiply in just that 400 years? 20 million. I don't know. You know that the children of Israel, 70 souls went into Egypt? Huh? They were about 400 years in Egypt. But they died as slaves, many of them, isn't it? But yet, when the Bible, when it came out of Egypt, it's estimated there are about 2 million people in 400 years. But this is 400 years without death. People don't die that young. Mortality rate is very low, right? Huh? Foods are plenty. And children are plenty. Isn't it? So could it be 20 million? Maybe, I don't know. So it was at this time that we see the hybriding by intermarriage took place. Got it? So hybriding by intermarriage took place around here. It cannot be in Enoch's time. Because it was the time when Enoch was born and he saw what these people over here were doing. They were calling upon the name of the Lord. They were invoking the name of God upon images. So it has to be, as I said this, at least two generations before Enoch. And at least a generation and a half or two generations after Enoch. You understand? Now, the degradation of the Canaanite people in their religious faith. Cain had at least half a revelation to worship God. But now it's no longer, his people no longer worship God in spirit at all. They're looking at a piece of stone or metal or images. So they create that. So now it's not just spirit and truth. Huh? It is now an image. So they have degraded themselves. They have degraded themselves further in the name of Iral. It's interesting. Its name means city. City dweller. Come back to the city. You know, there's a, I studied to find what this name means. But they're not very specific. It has a composition of so many different meanings because of the Hebrew word they were used. Alright? It's to say that there were a lot of city built in his time. Those people who want to go to another place, they say, return to the city. That's what his name also means. Come to the city, dwell in the city. Then the same thing, Mahujael. That's very interesting. It seems that they are a bit like a fugitive. They do not know what God is. Where are you, God? Who is God? This is God. You know, the name is just trying to say, figuring out what is God, who is God. That's why perhaps that's, you know, why their worship gets further away from the truth. And then Mahusael said, God is great, God is mighty. Which one are you referring to? The piece of stone? Or like the golden calf that the children of Israel were given by, built by Aaron, and said, that is the El Shaddai. You see. So there is a lot of things that is going on in that side. Alright? So that is when the hybrid took place. As I said, believe this, it has to be around the period of Canaan and Mahalaria at this time that the two seeds began to cross. And the Bible said that the giants were born when the sons of God took the daughters of men. Now, you look at Cain. Cain's size was increased by God. God increased his size, what? To protect him. Is that alright? Anybody who knows it, and I told you that, I tell the people, that's how God protected him. Increase his size. To protect him. Not for him to reproduce giants. He was not the father of the giants, per se. Otherwise, his children and grandchildren would have overcome him. Wouldn't you think so? Okay, let's say this right now, Cain. If he was the father of John and his sons Enoch, the Bible did know all this year, Enoch, Enoch, Mahujael, Mahusael, Lamech, none of these were giants. None of these were giants. But they are mighty men, some of them. Huh? Now you may have a population of 1,000. You might not even get one a giant. Huh? You understand that? You understand, huh? You understand that they are all born giants. You are 1 million. You may not even find one giant. Maybe 10 million, you get one giant. 100 million, 10 giants. 1 million, 100 giants or 1,000 giants. So that's considered quite a lot. In our population of Singapore, we have 4 million. What if we have 10 giants in Singapore? Everybody will know. It would be a big thing, isn't it? Wow, 8 feet, 9 feet tall. It's quite a lot now to have at least 10 giants in Singapore. But you have 4 million, huh? You have 10 giants, whole lot. There were giants, though, that doesn't mean that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of giants. It's not necessarily that. He said they were giants those days. But the men were mighty and renowned. And they were wicked at the same time. Got it? So now if Cain had sons were giants, you know, or Enoch's generation were giants, they would have already killed Cain. For the very fact is that a few men could not so easily overcome Cain unless they were giants. That's a fact. 6 person want to attack Cain, who is 9 feet. They are 7 feet. They will not be able to kill him so easily. Huh? They have a spear 9 feet long. He has a spear at least 13, 15 feet long. Because he has the height, he has the size to carry a heavier spear. How are they going to kill him so easily? But if those 6 were giants themselves, no problem to take 6 9 feet tall against one who is 9 feet tall. They could have easily taken him. And if he runs away, they could just simply track him down if their hearts into killing him. They will put him down. Do you understand? So John did not come in those 2 generations, or even in the generation he wrote. It has to be at least 2 generations later. Now, as the population increased and city built, and giants were born through high breeding, men's thought, remember I said men, this is not the satire, not the sons of God, they wanted to kill Cain. It is his own people. Remember that. Am I not telling you the truth on this? Precisely, exactly, absolutely, like what the man would say. Huh? The sons of God, they are not murderers. That's why we ask, why did Cain kill Abel? And the denomination could not figure that out. Because they said, well, you know, sometimes brother and brother fight each other, they'll kill each other. You know. These are sons of God in the image of God. This is the serpent seed. Huh? Correct? And Cain was the son of the serpent, who vicariously, of course, the serpent vicariously used him to father him. And the Bible said Cain was of the wicked one. Find it out. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. Exactly, absolutely, precisely. There's nothing but the truth. Come to think about it. Okay? So we have. As the population increased, city built, giants who born tribe being the man started killing Cain, their father would have dissipated. Now, people began to dwell in the city. Correct? Now they're no longer a farmer. If you're no longer a farmer, you don't worry so much about your crop, would it? Yes or no? Am I not making you sense? Exactly. Precisely, I'm telling you the truth. If you are not a farmer, don't worry. Now they go to the city, now they build city. They make organs and, well, they build computer. That is not true. That's not precisely. But they become so technical, they are so clever, they begin to create things. Huh? Living in the city. So of course there's less farmer. Less farmer, nobody bothered about Cain after that while. Isn't that right? And they're right. Think about it, my brother and sisters. Think about it. You talk about Revelation? You think about it. Here we have now. Giants surely did not appear in the first generation of hybriding. Noah's sons were not giants. That's why I can give you the answer. If in the first generation of high breeding produced giant, Noah who married a Kenite would have produced giant. That means Ham, Shem, and Jebel would have been giants. They were not. You talk about genetic. I go and look about genetic engineering. Go and learn about it. They tell how many years, how many strain before, you know, they get the kind of animal they want to, huh? I watched this documentary about genetic engineering yesterday. It's just kind of strange. They take this selective breeding of bulls and a cow and a bull and they'll produce the next generation come out huge, a lot of muscle. Then they continue some more. Actually, they didn't do direct, but actually they took the sperms and they looked through a microscope to select the kind of sperm that can actually make the next, you know, the descendant, the next breed that comes out, full of muscle. Until the animal looks hideous to me. It looks like a Frankenstein. You know, you never seen a bull with all, a lot of lumpy, a lot of muscle lump over, you know. Like a bodybuilder. You ever see a bodybuilder? He tells what you see a bull like that coming out. Wow! And then they have a chicken without father. Of course, they took the gene out of the cell and look for that chromosome that produces feather, remove it. And the chicken comes up, no feather. You see how hideous that really is? So you see, this general, the first generation cannot, does not mean that you have giants. It takes the next second generation at least to produce giants. Do you understand that? Okay? Now, let's have a look into Genesis 9, 18, 25. I want you to look at this, display here, and look at it closer, all those highlighted statements. Okay? And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Now I want you to pay attention. The Bible will give you attention. Call your attention. Don't be like a foolish person reading a newspaper. Right through. I mean, I don't read newspaper like I used to those days. I just glance through the headline, sub-headline, and then glance right down the column, pick up some words to see what it's all about. A lot of people read the Bible like that too, you know. Chapter 1. 5 minutes. Finish chapter 1. And you are not going to learn nothing. Look at it. The son of Noah that went forth the ark was Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them were the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. Now he became a husbandman. Now there were herdsmen before his descent. The ancestors were herdsmen. Right? Now he became a husbandman after the flood. Why? You see, because the population mixing and they see, oh, that side the farmer, they were planting vineyard and they drink what? This stuff that they drink. And they can, when they drink it, they walk like funny people. You know? Oh, it's wine! And he tasted it, he likes it. And he learned the art of farming! So after the flood, he couldn't care less much about his cattle, and he may, maybe. He said, let me try my hand at farming. So he farmed. And what he farmed, instead of farming tapioca and sweet potatoes and bitter gourd, pumpkin, no, he planted grapes. Because out of grapes you get wine. And so he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, the Bible mentioned, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. Now, it's not just the first time he did it. He said he was drinking the wine, means must have been drinking it quite, he likes it. You know, when you drink wine often, you become addicted to it. And when you drink wine, often, if you will have this habit of drinking wine, the tendency is that your senses are numb. Alcohol will numb your sense over the period of time. Do you understand? And it becomes so addicted. You can see a lot of the coffee shop, you know, They're, even in the evening, you can see people come and drink beer, especially beer anyway. You know, so they say, oh, that's relaxation, but they are addicted to it so much. After they drink it, they go home and they go and sleep themselves off. They're hangover. So, Noah drank of the wine, was drunken, and he was uncovered. See the word? He was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, let me just take that something here. With those first five verses, we look into Leviticus 18, verse 7 to 11. If we don't connect this, Genesis 18, to verse 22, or in fact, you can write, go to rest of 25. If you don't connect it to what Moses wrote under the inspiration of God in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 7 to 11, then you will see nothing. Denomination, many of them ignore it because they don't like to say that what happened was incest. They want to play down because of the Puritan spirit. And a lot of, as I say, a lot of Christians act so self-righteous, so religiously. And because of that, they teach things to their church. Face fact, the Bible is full of sexual things. Record accounts. Is that right? The Bible will record everything to show you what kind of people mankind have become. You see? God don't just record the good, He record the bad. God doesn't record in your goodness, He record your badness too. You see what He did to David? Huh? He record them. So when we look at Leviticus 18, 7 to 11, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall not uncover. She is thy mother and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether she be born at home or abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or your daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thy own nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now let's have a look at this. Take this Genesis 9, 18 to 25, and strip off all the other verses and just leave these two verses. Verse 21 and 22. Now, again, I say this, brother and sister, the Bible that you have in your hand, the King James Version, or for that matter, any other versions, they are translated versions. They are translations from the Hebrew and from the Greek. And I tell you already, that the Hebrew and the Greek, they don't have punctuation mark. They don't have punctuation mark. They don't have comma. They don't have semicolon. They don't have colon. They don't have full stop. And in fact, if you look into your King James Version, have you ever find a dash? Have you ever find a dash? You know, I use a lot of dashes in my writing. You know? And Noah bring forth three sons. Dash. Japheth, Ham, and Shem. I like to use that dash to call attention. That's all. But you don't find it in the King James. I don't think you ever find one place in the King James to use that. Because in those days, they don't even use it at all, I think. Huh? So, when you look in a verse like this, 21, 22, look at the verse carefully. And he drank of the wine, was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two sons, two brothers without. Look at it as if there is no comma, no semicolon. But this preacher said that, well, God put the colon there. God put the comma there. No, sir. No, sir. God did not put it there. The translator did it. The translator tried about, there are about 100 translators. Of course, God's guiding them through how to translate the word, use the word. And yet in all that, out of the 100, not all that agree with among themselves too. Now it's the same thing with the church. But at least we got a very good translation. That's why the translator are trying to improve upon the translation. You get a modern day translation and so on. If you say the translator don't make mistake, that's not true. And today, those who believe in soul sleep, that means the soul, when you die, You know nothing. You're not in paradise, you're not in hell, you're nothing. You're just asleep. And they took the word when Jesus spoke to the thief on his right hand. Huh? And he said to the thief, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now those who saw him said, no, the comma is in the wrong place. The comma is in the wrong place, they say. Well, you see, why do I say, oh, comma is in the wrong place? Because comma was never there to begin with. No full stop, no semicolon, nothing. But you need to know how the Spirit of God put the words, where to look at it, how to look at it, when to pause, and when not to pause. Jesus said, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's how you look into the word. But you see, this is what the so sweet believer said this. Jesus said, I say unto you today, you shall be with me in paradise. So, you know, it doesn't say today you will be with me in paradise, because Jesus said, I say unto you today, you shall be with me in paradise. So that is a soul sleep doctrine. But if we read it like this, Jesus said, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. It's whole thing different. So the same thing, you look at this, verse 21, 22 here now in Genesis 9. If we were to write it like this, okay, remove all, just split it up. And he drank the wine, was drunken. Okay? Okay, that's fine. That's it. And just put this word. He was uncovered within his tent, and Ham saw the nakedness of his father. He was uncovered within his tent, and Ham saw the nakedness of his father. Who? He was uncovered within his tent. By who? By Ham. Ham saw his nakedness. That's what the word is trying to tell you here. But the way that it was written, oh, he was uncovered means he was just simply naked. Yeah. And then Ham saw his nakedness. That's just what it is. It is not. When someone's nakedness has been uncovered, or they used to say somebody commits incest, he has been demolished, damaged, blemished, ravaged, disgraced. Huh? When a man sees the nakedness of his father, uncovered the nakedness of his father, you know what? He had done damage to his father and his mother. You know what I mean? It's ravaged. A man go and take his brother's wife. Oh my. He had damaged the woman. Is that right? Sure. Demolished and blemished the spirits of even brother. That's what the word uncovered here. You see, to look into, to put to shame, to damage. Okay, let us go back to Genesis 9, 18-22. Now, this preacher used Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 15-16, and try to prove that what we read in Genesis 9, 18-22 is not incest. And he tried to prove it by using Habakkuk 2, 15 and 16, which read, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and make him drunken also, that thou may look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shameful glory, drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Well, you can read it, it has nothing to do with it, because one word is missing. There is something that is missing here. Because it's not coupled with the word, uncovered thy nakedness. Saw the nakedness. The word nakedness in Habakkuk, look on thy nakedness, is ma'al. It means nakedness. That is, in plural, the prudendo, which means nakedness. Whereas the nakedness in Genesis is evolved. Which means, of course, literally the same nudity, literally, expressed prudendo, applicatively, disgraced, blemished, nakedness, shame, uncleanness. So here's a different words altogether. You understand? When you see the, when a man uncovered the father's wife and saw the nakedness of the father, he is actually committing something unclean. You understand? Committing something unclean is not just to look an ogre or whatever it is. Something unclean has been done. Has been committed. Habakkuk has nothing to do with it. It's just the shame of nakedness. And let thy foreskin be uncovered, this says, of course, to the children of Israel. You know, it's as if you're uncircumcised. It's still just uncircumcised. So, a lot of meaning. Two words. Let thy foreskin be uncovered. Aurea. A primitive root, probably to strip, but used only as denominative. To expose, remove the pubis, whether literally to go naked or figuratively to refrain from using, counted as uncircumcised. Huh? You see. Are we all circumcised? Yes, we are circumcised, right? Right! Who is not circumcised? You better circumcise yourself. I'm talking about spiritually. Isn't that right? Sure. You see how words are used. Now, we look at this. Isaiah 47 verse 1 to 3. Now, this is the only verse outside of the Leviticus chapter 18 that we see here that is similar to Genesis chapter 9. Here it is. Come down and sit in the dust. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldean, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare your legs. Uncover the tie. Pass over the river. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. Etc., etc., in other verses. God is prophesying by Isaiah to the Babylonian Empire. God told them, you know what, I was angry with my people. And I've given them to you, but you never treat them well even so. For this, by your leg, and I'll spread your leg and uncover your locks, your veil, remove out your skirt. And your diet, your nakedness shall be uncovered. It means you will be demolished. You will be damaged. You will be ravaged. Do you understand? You know, when a man who's not married and he sleeps with his father's wife, that's incest. But that's still known as fornication. Is that right? Huh? Only the word fornication is not used. You understand what I mean? A man sleeps with a man. We call that homosexual. Is that right? But it is called also fornication. Fornication means a sexual act of pleasure. A man who sleeps with an animal, you call it bestiary. But it's still fornication. Only that we don't use the word fornication, which is a general word. Do you understand? It is only a general word. So this is what happened here to the Chaldeans. Because God later on sent the Median Persia Empire against them and ravished them. Raped the whole city. Raped the whole nation. Raped the whole empire. Do you understand the word rape? Yeah. Just that the Japanese raped the city of Nanking in China. What they did back then. And what the Nazism did when they came over to Poland and all the other countries and Auschwitz and all these other places in Europe and raped the Jew. Ravish them. Send them to death on the Holocaust. And so on and so forth. Shem and Jephthah took a garment. Read the verse Genesis 9:23 And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and I already said this, that if you read the word the way you read it, you're not going to get the answer. But read it with where I highlighted it. Took a garment, laid it upon their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. The word garment in the Hebrew is simlau. Addressed, especially a mantle, apparel, clothes, clothing, garment, raiment. You understand? It is described as, in another way, they describe as a piece of cloth that is fitting the body. It means you cut it to shape to fit the body. So this is most likely a mantle. In those days, they don't have the dress that you have today. They don't have the shape that you have today. What they have is a cloak. Huh? So there's a mantle. And to say that they put it upon their shoulder would make them look stupid, wouldn't it? Because look upon the shoulder. The key, let's read the word here. The laid upon their shoulder, this verse in Isaiah 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Well, it means that God take the key of David and put upon the shoulder of the literal shoulder of King David. So David will have the key on his shoulder, walk everywhere, the key is always there. And it's not what it means. Is that right? So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Isaiah 9:6. We all know very well. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yeah, is that right? What does that mean? You mean the government sits on him? Huh? Is that what he means? That the government sits upon him? No. The government will be upon his shoulder is the one he carried the responsibility of governing. Is that right? So, look at the word very carefully. Just because of the way it is written, God is hiding something. Ah, a work from his wine, knew what he had done. A work from his wine. People say a work. The moment that Noah went to sleep, he woke up from his wine. Whoa, I got a headache. Hey, something happened. Ham saw my nakedness. Curse his son. Is that what it is? It doesn't mean that. A work from his son, you must have a time span. He woke up, he got a hangover, he go around working, and he must still be drinking, after a few days again. But then there's something that he did. He observed. Something was happening. After a few weeks, months, his wife was pregnant. He said the thing, maybe he slept with her, maybe he didn't sleep with her. You understand? He couldn't recall. They were okay. The moment that the child was born, look at the child. Oh my! Some did something strange with the child. Maybe he's bigger. He's a 12-pounder. A 12-pounder! Oh my! This couldn't be mine! Okay, let me just watch. You see? Maybe he grew up a little later, after 8 days before circumcision, before maybe he named him. After all he thought it was his. Then he realized it wasn't his. We don't know how long he came to the sense. The word knew is a primitive root to know, properly to ascertain by seeing. Using a great variety of senses, figuratively, literally, euphemistically, and inferentially, including observation, care, recognition, causatively, instruction, destination, punishment, etc., etc., etc. But the thing that you knew, you must able to see and understand. The Bible said, Adam knew his wife. Same word. Adam knew his wife. And they bore for a son. How did they know? The one knew means to go, yes, to sleep with the wife. But they also know that she is pregnant. You understand that? He also knew that he is pregnant and is with child. Knew means to be able to see what's happening. Well, there are a lot of men and women, couple that they wanted to have baby for years. They couldn't have babies, right? Huh? Every time they sit together, they say, are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? Do you feel like vomiting? Do you have any signs of morning sickness? They want to observe whether they have child. Yes or no? Yes. Now, John, what do you mean by that? Not that what this preacher said, so-called leading apostle, that Noah woke up from his sleep or from his swine. Oh, Ham. Ham did something to me. Oh, maybe he think that, oh, the two brothers told him. Oh, curse be Canaan. Is that what it is? Curse be Canaan. Why curse this son? Why did Noah curse this son? And the Bible said that Ham was the father of Canaan. So why did he curse this son? He knew this son was not his, even though he was born by Mrs. Noah, his wife. He knew this was not his son. That's why he cursed this son. That's why he didn't curse all the other sons. If Ham merely came into the tent and saw the father naked and make fun of him, well, would not Noah wake up from his sleep and say, ha, okay, that foolish son of mine, I will curse him. Why, you know, to be something to be justifiable in your cursing. When God judged Eve, what did he punish him or her with? He judged Eve and said that in sorrow thou shalt bring forth child, and I will multiply your conception, right? So because she misused the sexual organ, so that was the place that was judged. Am I not right? Yes or no? Adam was not deceived. So God did not judge him in that place. God judged him on the ground, because you came from the ground, now you're toy, because the serpent will be gone. Is that right? Fair judgment. So why on earth did not Noah pass judgment in a righteous way? Justly. If it was that Ham just came and ogled at his nakedness, what he said, cursed be Ham. Why would not just say, cursed be Ham, and cursed be his eye, he shall be blind, for he has seen my nakedness. It might be better, wouldn't it? Would it have done more sense? Yes. The Bible says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So, Ham, you saw my nakedness with your eyes, not with your hand. So your eyes shall be blind. Hey, this will be fair enough. Won't it? Noah didn't curse him on that. Because he's sick. Because, you see, he has misused what he misused in his sexual organ with his wife, to fornicate, to bring forth the seed therefore shall be cursed. Because it was a bastard seed. Do you understand that? Nobody even cursed Cush, Mizraim, or Put. In fact, he would just curse Ham himself. So who really was Canaan? The Adam had to curse him, not curse him. Curse him. Who was Canaan? Canaan was the bastard son of Ham by an incestuous act with Mrs. Noah. Ham's genetic makeup was half that of Sethic father, Noah, and Canaanic mother, Naaman. Is that right? Half-half. But now, Canaan possessed a greater dose of Canaanic genes from Ham and Naaman. And he was the father of the Canaanites and their sub-tribes. Among them were many giants. To say that Cain was the father of the giants is not correct. But see, to say that Cain's genes affected the Canaanic genes in the hybriding by intermarriage with them is correct. For the scripture says that giants came about when the sons of God took the daughters of men, and had children by them. See that? The scripture says that the giant came about when? Not before. They didn't exist before the hybriding. They only existed during the hybriding, when the sons of God took the daughters of men and had children by them. A curse is put on the man and the woman who commits iniquity of an incestuous kind. They shall be barren, destitute of children after committing such sin. I tell you that Noah and Mrs. Noah did not have any other children other than the three sons. Ham's last son was Canaan. He did not have any more because of this law. And the Lord showed me two verses. Here are the two verses. Leviticus 20:19. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister. For he uncovered his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. And they shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. The Hebrew word is ariri. Bear. Nothing. Destitute of children. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. Same word. Let me just break this down a little bit. In case you don't understand this verse. The first, verse 20 and verse 21. One says they shall die childless. The other one says they shall be childless. It doesn't mean that a man who is married and have three sons. Then, after a few years, he went and slept with his brother's wife. Okay? And commit this iniquity. It doesn't mean that the three sons will all die out. And he will be down, that this man will die childless and would also be the woman die childless if he has children also. If she has children. It doesn't mean that. You understand that? The verse 21 will give you an understanding. Now this is to say that if a man is not married, okay, if he is not married, and he went and sleep with his brother's wife, who just got married but have no children, and if they commit this iniquity, when this man get married, he will not have a child. When that woman conceived with his own husband, her own husband, she will remain childless. She will be barren. You understand? Verse 21 give you, they shall be childless. That is to say, if you have already two children, the woman have also three children, and when they commit this iniquity, they shall be childless from that time. And this, from that time on, they want more children, they will not get any more children. That is what it actually means. Do you understand that? Huh? Okay, so that's what Ariri means, bad. Destitute of children. They hold responsibility to that. So Ham had no other children with his own wife after Canaan. The fruit of his incestuous act with his mother. Mrs. Noah was born after Canaan was born. Ham became sterile. And then we have Mrs. Noah had no other children by Noah other than Japheth, Shem, and Ham. She also became barren. If any man who is foolish refuse to see, then they will not see. I think the Bible is clear enough on this. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace now. And all that we have seen, Father, your grace for us, Lord. Asking for your blessing, O Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen.